This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Barrett Jones is with us. He's on his way to call the Tennessee-Florida game this weekend. I know you've done research about this. Tennessee loses to Georgia State. They looked a lot better in a loss against BYU. Barrett, welcome to the show first. And secondly, do you think Tennessee has a chance to shock the world and beat Florida in Gainesville?
Well, what's up, guys? How are we doing?
Great.
You know, I do think they have a chance to shock the world. I mean, do I think it's a great chance? No. You know, because I'm really not sure right now how much the guys really believe. And I think when you're trying to shock the world, that's a big part of it, is you have to kind of believe you can win. And, you know, I look at the, my reasons that they might could. You look at this team, I think they're overall talent-wise, they're better than they were last year. And this is a team that found a way to beat Auburn and Kentucky. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. They're playing a ton of young guys and, you know, all those laundry lists of excuses. But you never know if they can find a way to win this game. Obviously, Felipe Franks is out. But I kind of, from what I've been hearing around the program, there's a lot of people that believe in Kyle Trask and think that there will not be a whole lot of a drop-off there at the quarterback position. So we'll just have to see. I think it's unlikely, but not impossible.
You know, if Franks doesn't go on that game, more than likely Kentucky goes on and beats Florida. There was kind of a spark with Trask coming in. I think a lot of people were surprised Emory Jones didn't play in that game as well. Do you think we will see both quarterbacks?
I do think we'll see both quarterbacks. And, you know, I think Trask being a little bit older and more experienced, they maybe just thought he was a little more prepared for, you know, the limelight. That's actually, I'll be with Dan Mullen tomorrow, and I'll ask him that exact question as far as what his plan is and why he didn't bring Trask straight in. But that's kind of was my take on it, just that he felt like a guy like Trask had been around for a long time, you know, had a better chance of being successful. And one thing, you know, to remember is that there was actually a quarterback competition, if you guys recall, between Trask and Felipe Franks. And it was kind of neck and neck, and then Trask got injured. And so Felipe kind of, in some ways, won by default. And, you know, that's often forgotten. But this is a kid who was very talented. Kind of a weird story, if you've seen it. Didn't even start in high school because he went to the same high school as Derek King, who's at Houston. So it's kind of a funny story, but who knows? It would be pretty awesome if this guy came out and lit it up and had a great finish to his career.
Barry Jones is on the Natty Seltzer Hotline. He'll have Tennessee, Florida on ESPN Radio on Saturday. Let's talk about your old school Alabama. Watching them, you played in an era where it was kind of that murder ball era, where when Alabama needed third and three, everybody knew they were going to run it and couldn't stop it. Is it kind of weird watching a different type of offense that is so pass happy now?
Well, it is very odd to me watching them on third and one and thinking that it's probably going to be a pass.
Yeah.
That's a big adjustment. When I see them lining up and there's, you know, at least three wide receivers, like that was when you brought in the big package. You know, you just ran straight up the middle. You might even have run Wildcat, you know, with Mark Ingram or Trent Richardson, and you pretty much always got the 1 yard. And now, obviously, it's a lot different. And, you know, on one hand, I know that Coach Saban understands, because he's the one that taught me this, that there will be a time of the season, no matter what, that you're going to need to run the football, right? I mean, we're going to need to take the air out of it. You're going to need to pick up an important yard on the ground. So I know over there right now that they're not content with the run game. I think kind of it seems like game flow-wise, obviously, look, the passing game has been really good. I mean, I think it's the best passing attack in the country when you look at those receivers and the two tackles that you have protecting on the edge, and obviously led by a quarterback. So those are the positives. But, you know, the middle of that offensive line, which is a big part of that running game, has been a little bit sloppy. They've shifted kind of all around. There's been a lot of different faces. And the running game, for whatever reason, has not been in sync. And so, you know, give Sark credit that he's obviously still picked up a bunch of yards and figured out how to score a bunch of points because, you know, he's used his strength. But I do know that they're going to want to try to get that established. And, you know, even though I know it will never look like it did, you know, a decade ago, which it frankly shouldn't because the game's changed a lot, it's still, I think they still want to be a little bit more balanced and able to run the football in big situations.
One of the best return guys in America plays for Southern Miss, and he's from Minor High School here in Birmingham, Jalen Adams, and he's a great receiver too, really speedy guy. Would you tell me the pride that the players who play special teams take and the emphasis Nick Saban and his staff puts on the special teams, because you get a lot of starters that go out there, and you've seen the injuries, and that's going to also hurt special teams. So that's a big focal point for the game. But as I've done spring games in the past, I've always been sort of impressed at how the coaches handles the guys who play special teams and the emphasis they put on that.
Well, there's no doubt. You know, when I first got to Alabama, really even our first few years, our special teams, for whatever reason, just were not that great. And Coach Saban really frustrated him to no end, and he really started putting a huge emphasis on it. And one of the things he did was he broke up kind of a lot of the different special teams units with the position coaches. So he kind of assigned different duties, whether it was, you know, the wings on the punt protection, or the, you know, the upbacks, the gunners. Like every coach kind of had a certain role on each special team where he was really coaching, and that helped a lot. And, you know, I think obviously there have been some, I would say, shambles maybe at kicker over the last few years, and there's been a lot of people that have kind of moved in and out. But other than that, the special teams really have been pretty good when you look at all the numbers of punt return, kickoff return, et cetera. So it's something they take a lot of pride in, and I know that will be a huge topic of conversation, that return guy, and that they will make sure that they have a kind of a special game plan and take a lot of pride in stopping him, because, you know, the special teams game is very important. Obviously, there's a lot of statistics on there about if you're able to change field position and score a special teams touchdown. And so I think, you know, the more data that Coach Saban kind of looked at, the more meeting time and the more attention to detail that he really started to devote to it. And that's why you saw better special teams. Now, I know that people might be laughing right now because they think the Alabama special teams has been horrible and over the last few years. But really, it hasn't been horrible. It's, you know, obviously the kicking itself has not been great over the last decade or so, with a few stretches of solid kicking in there mixed in. But overall, the special teams have been pretty solid.
Notre Dame, Georgia is getting billed as the marquee game of the weekend. We brought this up yesterday. Notre Dame 1-18 versus top five teams since 1999. One of those losses against you guys in 2012. You've seen SEC versus Notre Dame recently. You've seen Clemson versus Notre Dame. Do you think Notre Dame has any shot going into Athens and winning Saturday night?
Well, I do think Notre Dame's gotten a little bit better since then, in all fairness. I think maybe the Notre Dame team last year, I'm not sure about this year, probably would have beaten that 2012 Notre Dame team. That was a weird year where just they really didn't play anyone that good and kind of just squeaked through a lot of games and found their way to the national championship, obviously under an old system. And I think these Notre Dame teams are a little better. But do I think the result will be a whole lot different? No. I really don't. I mean, I don't envision this game being a total bloodbath, but I do envision Georgia winning comfortably. And, you know, it is a big difference, a big jump there when you're talking about one of the elite SEC programs in Georgia and the talent they have against a team like Notre Dame. You know, and we've seen Notre Dame this year, and I don't want to overreact to the Louisville game, where I know that was an emotionally charged night and a lot can change in a few weeks. But it looked to me like Notre Dame, even from last year, was a team that was really depleted in several different areas and had kind of a long way to go. So I, you know, expect it to be a good game, maybe for a quarter and a half or so, and Georgia to pull away later on in the second half, kind of in true SEC fashion. That's kind of my expectations.
All right, you're in the media now, so I can do this to you. We've got 30 seconds here, but Mike wants us to ask you best player you ever faced, college or pro.
Oh gosh, well, the best player I ever faced was not even close. In practice every single day at the Rams, I went against a guy named Aaron Donald.
Heard of him. He's pretty good. Yeah.
This is one of the, you know, like sometimes the really talented guys, like, you know, kind of feel the need. They're like, well, I don't really need to just abuse the scout and the scout team. Like, that doesn't really bring me a whole lot of joy. Aaron Donald was unfortunately not one of those guys.
is he the reason you're out of the league now?
Yeah. Like, if you'd gone to a different team and lined up against Gerald McCoy, would you still be playing?
I don't know, but he brought a lot of great joy to his heart to be able to try to sack the quarterback every time he was lining up against me in scout team. And we used to get into fights all the time, and you know, it was a very scary. In fact, probably the time I saw my life flash before my eyes the very most was one day when I actually did successfully block him, which always frustrated him. He like ripped my helmet off. And he reared back, and I thought he was going to hit me with it. And I was like, well, here we go. I'm going to die this way. So he's a beast, man, and a great player, and I got a lot of respect for him. And I know that story sounded wild, but he really is a good player and a guy who works hard and a good teammate. So, yeah, that's probably – but, I mean, I gosh, at Alabama, I faced so many – I've say the coaches, I thought they used to hate me because when I was moving around positions, I felt like they always used to – I used to wind up against our best defensive lineman no matter what. My first year I had to block Terrence Cody every day in practice. Then I was – then he graduated and I had Marcel Darius. Then they moved me to left tackle and I had Courtney Upshaw every day of practice. And then I moved to center and I had Jesse Williams. So I had a tough go always, and that's probably why right now when I get out of bed, it takes me about 5 minutes, you know, to stretch out and take a hot shower before I can move around very well.
11 o'clock, Tennessee, Florida, Barrett Jones on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Barrett. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too, Barrett. With us on the Natty Seltzer Hotline, hottest spike seltzer on the market. Two great flavors, cherry lime and mango peach.
Interact with us on Twitter @JocksRoundtable.